closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
.06 coming in on just 2 weeks, T-minus 2 weeks, actually T-minus 1 week, excuse me, T-minus 1 week to Election Day. We're under 2 weeks is what I meant to say. T-minus 1 week, Tuesday, 1 week. It all finally will be decided a week from Tuesday. Seems almost incredible. Yeah, 10 days. Feels more like 13 days of the Cuban Missile Crisis. But it's going to be an interesting time. Now, obviously, the presidential race is sucking up a lot of the oxygen. But we have talked a lot about the U.S. Senate race. We're going to talk about that and other things political with a good friend of the show, Eric Hovde. Good to talk to you again, my friend.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning to all the listeners today.
Hey, listen, before we get to the serious stuff, I want to get the Packer stuff out of the way because I made my pick before the news, and I did pick the Falcons. I just do not see a depleted Packer secondary keeping up with Julio Jones and Matt Ryan. I said, 45-31, something like that. I said 45-31 Atlanta. I think it's going to be a shootout, but I don't think the Packers can keep up.
I'm kind of in alignment with you. We have no cornerbacks right now. And you're going up against the best pass offense. And saying that, they have one of the worst defenses. But, you know, look, if the Packers could pull it out, that shows some real heart with all the injuries and all the rest and maybe getting Rodgers back on track. But, yeah, I think it's going to be difficult, Jerry. If I had to lay money, it would be the Falcons.
It would be a tremendous win, and you're right. Their defense is really bad, but Julio Jones is just a freak of nature.
Exactly. And we don't have Sam Shields, Rollins, Randall.
Yep.
You know, that's really difficult. I mean, cornerbacks are literally one of the two, three most important positions on a whole defense.
Yeah,
and some would argue number one. So
I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. I don't have a good feeling. Let's talk about the U.S. Senate race. And there was a moment where both sides, really, in terms of the party structure, had written this off. Republicans had written it off. It was one that if we're going to keep the Senate, it's not going to be in Wisconsin. That has changed and changed dramatically. The race has tightened. Some polls still show a pretty good lead for Russ Feingold, but the race decidedly is tightened, and certainly Ron Johnson seems to have the momentum, and he's done it in a way, and I think it's so critically important that he wins this race. He's done it in a way that I didn't think he could do through advertising. Ron hadn't connected well. A third still didn't know enough about him to have an opinion. He's run an effectively brilliant campaign that shows him as the real Ron Johnson, and it seems to be working.
Yeah, let me talk both about this particular race and then the broader aspects of the Senate and the House. First, as it pertains to this race, I was saying, I think to you, Jerry, and some other friends as well, my problem with Russ Feingold, and I'm glad Ron called him out on it, he's a phony. He's a complete hypocrite. With Tammy Baldwin, she runs as a liberal progressive. I disagree with everything, just about everything she stands for, but I respect the fact that at least she runs as who she is and how she votes. Russ Feingold, if you watch his ads, you would think he's a pro-business guy, middle of the road, you know, very moderate, bipartisan. And yet we know on how he voted when he was in the Senate, he is as much of a diehard liberal progressive as Tammy. He's just a phony, and he doesn't come out and say what he believes, and he tries to spin. He's also one of these people that are so disconnected from living in his own bubble all life than what the real working guy or gal in Wisconsin are experiencing. So I'm glad that Ron has caught up because, you know, I obviously agree with Ron's policies and what he stands for, but also because you see what you get. With Russ, you don't. So that's the aspect of this race, and it is kind of shocking to me that it's gotten this close, and I think, you know, Ron could pull it off. The bigger issue is the Senate and the House. If you're out there right now, a Trump supporter who's pissed off at the Republican establishment, or you're somebody who's a Republican that's not going to vote for Trump, you still got to go out and vote for the House and Senate. Because let me tell you, if Hillary Clinton wins and enough people don't show up and it carries on down ballot like what they're predicting right now, think of the first 2 years of the Obama administration when they had control of the House and the Senate. You got Obamacare, which has destroyed our health care industry. You got $800 billion, almost $1 trillion in the stimulus spend, which was largely a payoff to big, giant public unions in California, because $250 billion of that went to California. So think of that. Wisconsinites giving money to pay for public workers in California, and a bunch of projects that Obama later laughed. I guess they weren't so project ready. So the devastation of what happened with policies in those 2 years were absolutely horrific for our country and have these huge long-lasting effects. So I plead to you, everybody out there listening to you, if you're a Trump supporter and you're mad at the establishment, don't make this foolish mistake of, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face of I'm not going to vote for him. Because if Hillary wins, then you're going to get everything that you've detested just jammed down this country's throat. And if you're a Republican who's thinking of not voting because you're not a Trump fan, you have to get out and vote. So I can't express that enough. It is so critical for us to keep the House and keep the Senate if Hillary Clinton gets elected, because otherwise you have nothing that is going to be a governor on what she does.
And I want to expand that a little bit. And you did mention the Senate and the House. Folks here in Northeast Wisconsin in the 8th Congressional District, that also means getting out and voting for Mike Gallagher.
I'm so thankful you went there, because that was where I was going next. I did a fundraiser for Mike down here in Madison. Mike is a smart, articulate, principled man. I think I really always thought very highly of Reed Ribble. I thought Reed was your classic, what I believe we need to get back to, the citizen legislator, the servant who doesn't look at politics as a career that goes and serves. Well, it was sad that Reed decided to step down, but, you know, he said, I'm going to turn myself, so I respect him. Well, I think you've got as good a alternative coming up in Mike Gallagher. So thanks for saying that, because I was going to go there anyways. Please go out and vote for him. I was totally impressed at how articulate, intelligent, and how well-informed he is.
And by the way, you know, we talk, when I talk with him on the air, we talk a lot about national security issues because that's his wheelhouse. But he is well-rounded. Economy, the guy is just brilliant.
Yeah, very, very, very smart and grounded with a lot of knowledge. I mean, you know, the sad thing was what's happened to this country, as most of your listeners know, and your listeners aren't this because they're well-informed people. But most of the country, sadly, doesn't even know what the heck is going on. They can't even tell you when our country was founded, who the vice president, how many senators there are. It's just deplorable at how low people are keeping themselves informed. I like to say, sadly, with, you know, females, they spend too much time focused on what's going on in Hollywood. And with males, they engross themselves too much in sports. And now it's not just sports, it's fantasy sports.
Yeah.
You know, we need our country to get back, you know, get involved, get informed, serve your country. You know, our country's going on a very bad path. And we need articulate, smart, informed people getting involved and talking about and changing this country. It's not going to be done by one person or two people or a handful. It requires all of us to really start getting out there. And that's my other point. You know, you all have friends. You all have families.
Yep.
You know, don't go get in an argument, but just go, this is why I believe this is the best person. And, you know, and express your views in a positive way. And also you can express your concerns. Look at where our country is. Look at where violence is. Look at what's happening in the world. Look at where our economy, $20 trillion in debt. That's what this president has left us. He has bankrupt our kids and our grandkids. I feel so sad for my kids right now. I got a 27-year-old daughter who just got married, bought a new house, and thinking of having children, and an 18-year-old who's going to graduate from high school. And I think, what has, you know, this past 20 years, or certainly this last 8, left them? It's just so sad. And, you know, and here, you know, I don't know who's going to win the presidency, but Clinton, she is so corrupt, and corruption is so insidious to a country. That's why Latin American and South American and so many African and, you know, India have such struggle, because once corruption becomes accepted at the top, it filters down all through a society. So I'm just really concerned, and, you know, everybody who's listening, you got to do something. I'm working my butt off, you know, trying to raise money for the people I believe in, expressing my views, you know, talking about these issues, writing about these issues. So, you know, these things matter. Elections do matter.
All right, so I have two emails here. One is Hovde for U.S. Senate, Hovde for President. You take your pick.
That's very kind. I had a couple last night at dinner with said, you should just run for president. And I just had to laugh. That is very, very kind. You know, I'll make up my mind here in the next year whether I'm going to go take on Tammy Baldwin. You know, it's hard for a private guy to ever run for president unless you have done something on a national stage like Donald Trump with his television show, or, you know, you've been on a national stage from politics. But I'm going to make up my mind in the next year whether I do run against Tammy or not. But that's very kind of that listener.
Well, I
just care about my country, as all your listeners do. And that's the thing that I think is starting to change, Jerry. And I really do. I think a lot of us who started off in our careers, we got wrapped up in business, wrapped up raising our kids. All of a sudden, you wake up and go, oh, my God, what's happening to my country?
Yeah.
And you start going, I've got to do something. Look at where our country is. Look at where it used to be when I was raised, and, you know, and just seeing the lack of ethics and morality and just the meltdown on everything. As I said, $20 trillion in debt. Heck, if they raise interest rates 1%, that's $200 billion in interest costs. You can't even raise rates, because if you do, the country goes bankrupt quickly. So we're trapped in all this economic mess. Look at the geopolitical situation. It's a complete mess. Obama, in my view, will go down when history looks at it as the worst president, and he has gotten a completely free pass by the media. And you know what, folks? You know, you got some great media outlets like Jerry and all the rest, but the mainstream media sickened me, and I mean sickened me. They are so biased. They're so distorted in everything they do. And you know what? I'm just starting to cut the cord. You know, cancel a lot of my cable subscription and reducing it and using things like Netflix and all the rest, because I'm just tired of paying for their manipulation.
Before I let you go, I want to double back on one thing. When you talked about Russ Feingold's phonyism, I thought Ron made a good point, too, not just in terms of ideological stripe, but he is so disconnected from the average Wisconsinite. And he actually said something that let that out, that he travels so he could feel more like a real Wisconsinite. Now, I'm paraphrasing. That's not a direct quote. But he's this, you want to talk about the ultimate elitist adjunct, you know, Stanford college professor, trying to be a regular Wisconsin guy. That, by the way, is where I think Russ Feingold also shows his true phonyism.
100%, and then attacking Ron's charitable efforts and making some comment like, oh, yeah, well, that's so good that you're going helping them get to work, and then they come home having a long drive or being exhausted. Well, guess what? That's what work's about. You're going to go work, and it gives work is, having a job and having work is a healthy thing for people. It gives you a sense of self-accomplishment. No, his philosophy is just put everybody on the dole, and then so Washington can control them by how much they dole out. Well, guess what? It doesn't work because, as Margaret Thatcher famously said, socialism and their policies ultimately end up fail because they run out of other people's money. But ultimately, it's the most destructive thing for the people. Entitlement and dependency is so corrosive to a human being. It doesn't give them a sense of self-accomplishment. Your listeners know that. What they feel good about, what they feel confident about, the things that they worked hard for, struggled for, and all the rest. You know, raising good kids, starting a company, yep, or being successful at a job or getting a degree. It took work. It's your blood, sweat, and tears. Russ Feingold, he has had, you know, that's the thing. They go off to Washington and they live in these little bubbles, and then they sit there and dictate all these things to everybody else. We deal with the consequences of them, and they sit up there totally immune to it. You know, oh, public schools, and they send all their kids to private schools. And you can go on and on. So, yes, Russ Feingold's a complete phony in my book.
All right,
every way.
You are on fire today, my friend, by the way. I need to let you know that. I know you're passionate about it. Out of time, let's try to have you on once more before Election Day, okay?
Fantastic, buddy.
Hey.
Love you, Jerry. All everybody, go Badgers. Big game Saturday. Go Packers. Let's hope we're both wrong. And get out and encourage your friends and to, you know, do the right thing.
Eric,
have
thanks.
A great weekend.
Hey, you too. Eric Covey, have a great boy. I know he reached out to me. He's like, you got to let me come on. And just as I just let him go, I know how passionate he is about this. 10:23.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.